Hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, James.
Yeah.
And hello. Shannon.
Sorry. Hello, it's been that kind of week.
This is important for me syncing up the audio. Let's just try that one more time. I'm joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, James.
Yeah, hi.
And Shannon.
Hello.
I think we got that the second time. James, you were playing a bit of Smash Bros. Last night, I noticed. I take it, seeing as they've added the Minecraft characters to the game. Yeah. How are they? Are they a good addition?
I was kind of forced into it by a friend, but I enjoyed it in the end, so that's fine. It was good. It was enjoyable. You just forget.
Were you playing as them, or were you fighting against them?
I jump between. I like to have... Okay. A good variety of experiences when I play Smash Bros, you know. But
yeah.
You forget how much you like Smash Bros. But I think they're really cool characters. Like, it's really... I love how they've really made an effort to kind of capture that, like, spirit and the essence of the games that they come from for these characters and put them into a fighting game, even if they don't really make sense, but they still work really well. Cool.
They do that well with all the characters in the game, right? They somehow kind of bring them all together on one battlefield and make it work.
Like Persona, like Bayonetta, like Metal Gear Solid, Pac-Man. Like, just having all those games together alone is crazy, but then to add Minecraft to it all is quite cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the reaction to Minecraft characters getting added was mixed, to say the least. But I think, like, being as big a video game a property as it is... it's undoubtedly going to appeal to a group of people. I don't know how big, what sort of overlap there is between Minecraft and Smash Bros. Players. But as far as like a bundle, like an ultimate collection of kind of game franchises all together, I don't know if it'd been quite right without Minecraft in there. So I think it's cool to see. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I wonder if like Sony will ever come to the table with this stuff. Because like, you know, Minecraft and Banjo are both Microsoft. So, that would be cool if Sony would add something, like Ratchet and Clank would work. I don't know. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, there's no way.
Maybe they're just preparing
for obviously.
PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. It's going to come back.
Nah, it's not. Give it up.
Sly Raccoon as well. Don't forget Sly Raccoon.
Sly Cooper.
Speaking of iconic video game characters, though, Shannon, you had... you were lucky enough to receive Mario Kart Live in the mail and play a bit of Home Circuit over the last week. You've kind of put up a review of it over on the website as well, but I'm keen to quiz it on you, seeing as it's quite like a radical sort of new idea from Nintendo controlling these remote control vehicles essentially from your Switch and having a camera on them that allows you to see what's going on. Yeah. I guess like my first question would be, does it work?
It does work. That was kind of the most surprising thing. Like, I don't know if I was one of the only kids that sort of... I always, like, wanted a remote control car, and then you'd get one, and it'd just never live up to expectations. It'd die in, like, 3 minutes. It'd go slow. It'd, like, get stuck on something and wouldn't move. But this little cart, like, has some zip. It's got a great turning circle. It's responsive. Like, that is the key takeaway, that, like, it actually does work.
Yeah. I love that it's got a good turning circle. Like, that's
but like that.
Its ANCAR 5-star safety rating?
It's good though. Like, my study and my kitchen are small areas. Like, and you can fully go in there and turn around. Like, my hallway, I can get to the end and turn around. Like, I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense actually. Because depending on the space you have, you might have to make some pretty complicated tracks. How was that? Like, how did it go setting up your own tracks in your place?
I think. I expected it needing a bigger space, and I obviously tried it in a few different ways, and it definitely does lend itself better to sort of at least having enough space that it can sort of do a big loop, but it still works just fine smaller. It's obviously just the race is going to be quicker and you're going to have less time to drift and use items. So it really works either way, and it still, I can see it being fun. I think, like I said in the review, it is the game side of it is a bit gimmicky, and it is a cool tech experiment, but $150, I feel like that's a good price for what you're getting. And like,
yeah, does it come with just the one cart at $150?
It does, and that was my thing. I feel like Mario Kart's all about the multiplayer, and there's no multiplayer outside of that, so I feel like you'd need the second cart.
Yeah, I take it you've not had the opportunity to try any multiplayer stuff.
I haven't, and I feel like that would be chaotic. Like, just knowing how many things I smashed into and the gates and stuff. Like, imagine having a physical cart that you have to contend with. It could be fun, but
yeah,
I do wonder.
I reckon
how it
there's
work.
Such an appeal to that. Like, I was curious as to how this would work, because I think when I think of Mario Kart, I think of okay, like we've got the mates around for drinks and we kind of all gather around the TV and play some Mario Kart together, right? Like, it's kind of got that
gathering. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Use, but yeah, I wonder if it would it work in that sort of setting? Do you think, or would you just require too big a space?
I think it would. It's Mario Kart. Like, Mario Kart's the kind of game where you could be coming first for 98% and then you get hit with a blue shell at the end and you lose. Like, it's very much random in... Like, that's what it is. It's randomness at the end of the day. Yeah. Like, you can have skill, but it can all be over in a second regardless. So I feel like it'd work.
Yeah. I noticed...
How do you set up a track? Is that
so, to set up a track, you've got four, like... gates, which are like Labo, but they come in the box. You just fold out the legs and then some directional arrows. So you lay them down and they're numbered. And then essentially you just drive through the gates and then that creates the track in game.
Yeah, right.
If that
right,
makes okay. sense.
But so you are limited simple. To just like the four gates. You can't make it.
Yeah, but they can be as far away as you want from each other. They're just simply barriers. And I think you can miss one like whilst racing in GP without it making you do another lap. So... It sounds restrictive, but it's really not. They're literally just ways to have a course.
Okay.
And you can loop back and forth. You can go any way you want. As long as you start at one and end at one, I guess, then you can go anywhere you want to create the course, the track.
Can you do like anti-grav
and presumably
like, on the ceiling?
You can create laps.
Like in Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, you can. You can. You just have to glue one of the carts to your roof. Yeah, the gates to your roof.
You have to glue
put
it,
magnets
still
in the wheels.
Is there a rainbow road in your house, Shannon?
Yeah, I was going to ask, can you fall off?
There is a rainbow road. You can't... I think that is one of the downfalls as well. Like, all of the backgrounds are the same because it's your house. So, like, whilst there's a lot of cool visual effects and stuff, like, you don't have the insane backdrops that you used to in Mario Kart. Instead, you just see, like, the bottom of your leather couch that your dog has ripped out 40 times over.
How did the dogs respond to them? You posted some clips on Twitter that they looked a bit scared.
But Billy wasn't phased, and I feel like she's less phased, but I expected Ollie to like bark at it. When we used to run our vacuum cleaner, our RoboVac, like he would just run around barking at it. And that's kind of what I expected, but he was terrified. He like sniffed it and then I moved it forward. And ever since that moment, he just bolts. Like he'll sniff the gates and the cart will come zipping around and he'll just run.
It's funny how pets, always get freaked out by those little gadget things. The Roomba's very much the same. James, can you see yourself playing this at all?
No, not at all.
Did you ever give the Labo stuff a go?
No, neither. It's definitely better than the Labo.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It seems much more sophisticated.
It's not surprising to me, but, like, I think that Mario Kart was never my thing anyway. Like, I've never enjoyed it. I think it's because it's the only game that, like, I suck at.
Really?
Yes. Very much so. So this is doesn't really scratch that itch for me, but it's a really cool idea. I think it'll do crazy numbers at Christmas especially.
Yeah.
Shannon, you were talking about weather effects and how they actually affect the cart and stuff, like how that tech is super impressive.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Like if you pick up a mushroom in the race, your car physically goes faster. If you drift and let go, your cart physically goes faster. Like, if you get hit by a shell, it stops. So that kind of... It doesn't sound like much, but when you think about the fact that you're playing a Switch and that's instantly being responded to the card itself, like, it's pretty incredible.
I wonder how much people are going to mod these things. Like, if it's got some way to control its speed. Yeah. Well, I mean, it must have some sort of speed inhibitor in there, right? Like, ooh, I wonder what people could get away with. That's a bit of a scary thought.
And what's in the box? Like, what do you get?
So you get either Mario or Luigi, you get the four gates, you get two directional signs that sort of show up in game and they're just to keep you on track. And that's it.
And no USB-C cable.
Right.
It's no cartridge?
No cartridge. You download it from the eShop for free, which is amazing.
Right. Okay, cool. So it's really, the game isn't so much what you're paying for, it's all the accoutrements.
It is.
How do the pickups and stuff work? They don't have anything physical? Like, you don't decide where you place those? It just kind of puts them somewhere between the gates?
So the gates act as where the item boxes are, but I was saying in my review that They're trying some really cool stuff. So you can customize the gates to have things like magnets and P coin blocks and things like that. So they're definitely, you can tell it's not retro and it's, I can't remember the studio name, but it's a new studio that have sort of done this. And you can tell they've sort of had the license to try a few new things. Most work, a few don't. But I think that is the coolest thing. Like the Mario Kart franchise has stayed pretty samey for a while. So I feel like hopefully this is breaking out of the box a little bit for the future.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt something that will be popular come Christmas time, perhaps, if you're not getting a next-gen console.
I likened it to Wii Sports, and I feel like it is that. Like, I can literally see the family standing up for 10 hours playing this Christmas Boxing Day. And I feel like even if you never play it again, like, you're going to get your $150 worth. But I can honestly see kids, like, having a ball with this for ages.
Oh, 100%. It's interesting. We were talking a little bit about this before the start of the show, and how the Switch, how Nintendo were going to kind of wear out, I don't know what's the right way to phrase this, how they're going to confront next gen with the Switch, and if it is like just doubling down on kind of quirky stuff that they can do differently, seeing as the Switch is such a different kind of form factor and it's got the handheld component. Having played it, Shannon, like, do you think like something like this has enough power and enough kind of interest to see out next gen and have mean the Switch is going to stick around a lot longer?
Well, yeah, like, I don't want to be talking about sort of, I don't want to put next-gen consoles in a bad basket. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I definitely had a sense of excitement from this that I don't even know if either console has really given me yet. Like, there was just something new and fresh about this. In the same way, I think I've said before, like, Oculus Quest still excites me now. It's because, A, I don't know how it works, especially the new one, because it's so much smaller and lighter than the old one and so much better. And just, it feels different. Every experience I have with it just feels new. Where, like, no offense to any games, but it just feel like looking at this holiday, there's like one or two games that feel like they could be new experiences. But for the most part, it's just the eighth iteration of a game.
I wonder if it's that kind of sense of magic that you kind of get from, like, inexplicable technology. Like, the Quest is kind of magic in that the games are just in there. You don't require the PC. It's got no wires. It's just like, how does this thing work?
Yeah.
You know, maybe Mario Kart's kind of the same. Whereas faster load speeds on a next-gen console doesn't feel that magic.
So what I'm saying is, cancel your PS5 pre-order and grab this. You'll save a lot of money.
It doesn't matter. EB might beat us to it, but we'll get to that in a moment. But speaking of next-gen consoles, let's catch up with some of the latest news coming out of the Xbox camp. Shannon, as we all know, you have an Xbox Series X, and week by week, you're gradually able to tell us a little bit more about it. You've spent some time with the games quite recently, and so I'm keen to quiz you on that as well. Feel free to jump in to as much as you like, James, because I feel like this is a very, like, this is an interrogation of Shannon otherwise.
This is it. Like, as when this episode has gone up, like, I'll be able to talk about anything that I have in my possession, so feel free to hit me with anything.
This is your opportunity. Well, if there's any kind of I know the community as well has been shooting you with tons of questions as well, Shannon. If you feel like there's any there that you want to answer as well, go for it. But I guess, like, the biggest question is, like, how are the games? Like, how noticeable is the generational leap? I guess in terms of the much talked about load speeds, but also just the graphical fidelity of them as well.
I feel like it's a lot of, even though I played Dirt, Yakuza, Gears Tactics, and Gears 5, which are the four optimized games I got to play in the previous session, I still feel like what I said last week hasn't changed too much. Like, it is still more about the loading times, quick resume.
There's quality of life improvements, right?
Yeah, just it's a lot of small things which all come together nicely to sort of really put Xbox in a great position going forward. But I don't know if I've had that next gen moment where I really would feel excited if I was bringing this home on day one and playing a game. Like, I don't think I've had that yet, and I feel like, I don't know, I think I was expecting it less this gen anyway, just because of how everything's panned out. But I feel like from that point of view, it's maybe even been a little bit below what I thought. Like, Dirt doesn't really look better than Forza Horizon did. Gears 5 already looked great and it still looks a little bit better. Yakuza, I think, I've never played Yakuza. It looks great, but I think depending
Yakuza
on what you're
games
after,
have like, never been, but like even when they've well come out on PS4, either. Yeah, they've never been like cool powerhouses. So I don't think that was ever going to change with this. But
yeah,
I don't think so either.
I think
your issues just stem from the fact that there's just no, like, the big blaring elephant in the room, like, that there's just no, like, heavy hitter first party title. Yeah.
These aren't games that were purpose built for,
like,
the
Dirt 5. Yeah. Like really. But like, I don't know. It's hard. But we said it years, like maybe months ago, and Ewan yelled at me because I felt like it was kind of, we're getting to this point where it's like diminishing returns, kind of with tech. There's less and less areas that we can like innovate on in crazy high amounts. And I feel like year two, it's the same with every console though. Like year two or year three games will always be a little bit more impressive than say like year one, which is never going to be as good.
Yeah. But like even ray tracing, which is kind of like much talked about, right? And people kind of talk about that as being like the next big thing. It's just better reflections. Like that's all it really is. We've had reflections in video games. That's not to knock it. Like it does. Like it obviously is significantly better and. Yeah, and being able to like trace that light like in real time, right? It's amazing.
I think it's
looking at one very particular aspect of the overall kind of presentation of the game. It's not affecting everything, right?
Yeah, the weird thing is like I feel like we were promised like 4K 60, and like I feel like that was a real genuine possibility. But then we add things like ray tracing and other things that sort of make that hard to achieve again. And it's sort of just like.
Yeah.
Was anyone asking for ray tracing in consoles a year ago? Like, I'd never heard of it.
Well,
but that being said, like,
going to be possible.
Have you played anything with ray tracing yet, Shannon?
Well, no. I know what ray tracing is from PC, so it is impressive. Like, but that is a problem, I guess. Like, yeah, Watch Dogs has it on the console. I would have liked to have played that.
But we already know, like, from the PC side of things, so there's a trade-off, right? Which is what you're referring to. As soon as you turn ray tracing on, it's demanding more from your computer and therefore you kind of suffer a frame rate drop. It has an impact. So yeah, I totally hear what you're saying.
I think, yeah, in conclusion, I feel like I wasn't expecting there to be like three visual modes for a game in terms of like frame rate, resolution, or just normal, which sort of balances between the two. I thought we were sort of doing away with that, especially in games like Dirt and Yakuza. Like if I'm playing on a console, I want whatever the developers think is best for the experience. Like, I just want that presented to me. I don't want to have to choose between three different things. And they're very vague. Like, they don't tell you. I think it's normal frame rate. Like, what would normal mean to you alongside frame rate and resolution?
Well, yeah, I mean, like,
I would go with normal.
The boundaries are shifting, right?
I would call it balanced.
Or something, but even then it's like, well, why wouldn't you just choose that anyway? Like, if that is what you deem to be normal and balanced, why wouldn't you just give that to the person?
Yeah, why is that not the default?
Option is great too, but I don't know.
He's up.
You get a PC at that point, surely.
If I remember you saying, like, there's like a performance mode and there's a resolution mode, and then within each of those modes, there's three other options. Is that what you're saying for Dirt?
No. Well, I think when you start talking about resolutions like 1440p and stuff, I assume it runs differently again just because of Series S. We haven't even spoken about it. I don't have a Series S. But like, you assume these developers have to make, I think I read somewhere it's like 11 different versions of these games or something, including like PC, current gen, last gen, Series S. Like it's just insane. There's not different modes within those modes. It's more just like, trying to work out what does this mode look like in 1440p and what does it do in 4K?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just not what I was expecting. Like, I just don't feel like the game's justified either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd much prefer to see it kind of focus on one thing, kind of set that bet mark and have the same sort of expectation for everything that comes out on it. And if that's 4K 60, then awesome. Like, you know, the gen we've got at the moment, current gen, whatever we're referring to it at the moment as, you know, like 4K 60 isn't the norm. If we're playing in 4K, chances are it's 30 frames, right?
Yeah.
So if they were just able to hit, like, and tell us or kind of guarantee us that every game was going to be 4K 60 and that was the end of the discussion, I think it would just make so much more sense.
That's it, right? If they just did that, you would be okay with it. But when you have to choose one, you feel like you're missing something. And that's what I hate personally. Like, I don't want to have to choose. I think we've had this conversation before, but I feel like it it's more impactful now. Like, I just want to be served 4K 60. And if that means there's like less shadows or no ray tracing, whatever, like whatever you have to do to hit that, just hit it. Or do 1440p 60. Like, do something. I don't know.
If there's a game and there's a developer that's able to go, oh, we're able to still do 4K 60 with ray tracing on, then awesome, include ray tracing.
Yeah.
But like, if you can't kind of guarantee that, I don't feel like it's necessarily to include. But then I don't know how much of this is kind of future-proofing for whatever like else Xbox have in store, right? Like, maybe they've got a Series X2, whatever the bloody naming convention is, planned for three, four years' time.
To be fair, it's not an Xbox thing, because both of their first-party optimized games that I have, both are just 4K 60. Like, there's no option, apart from Gears Multiplayer, which you can play in 120 hertz. But I feel like that's justified for Gears Multiplayer, which is competitive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like it's not on them, because they're just doing what they think the console can do, and that's they're not giving players an option. I think it's on these other devs, which maybe they feel, because they're making all these different options for different consoles, like, why not give players choice? Which I get. I get both sides, but I don't know. I just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Not,
I
not
think, yeah,
super impressed.
Yeah, and I guess like, the launch isn't necessarily the best time to judge it. And I realize that's a bit weird to say, because that's the only time you really judge it. Like, that's the only time you kind of get console reviews and stuff out. But yeah, like, I think we always see that over time, as developers kind of get to grips with the console more, where they're able to produce better with it. And yeah, I wonder if, you know, a year's time, like, all of this conversation is kind of pointless. Like, it's everything's 4K 60 pretty comfortably, and it's much more simplified. But I guess, yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait to see how it all pans out. On the topic of Xbox, though, we also have details now on the complete Xbox launch lineup. James, I think you've got that list. Hopefully you've got that in front of you. Looking at that kind of list of games, how satisfied are you with the launch lineup now that it's all kind of squared off and finalized?
I am just pulling that list up. Here we go.
I'm doing
think
the same myself.
it's
in a tab somewhere.
It's in my phone. it's fine. Obviously, like we talked about before, there is Gears Tactics, but I don't think that's the heavy hitter that we want. But I think it's a pretty good, selection of games, for sure. A lot of nice upgrades and stuff. I guess there's a few glaring omissions, like, obviously NBA's there, but FIFA isn't. Which I think Shannon might want to talk about later. But some games I haven't even heard of. But, like, yeah, it's a pretty good mix of, like, AAA and indie and stuff. And I feel like, you know, in December there's a few... really nice games joining too, like Immortals, and The Medium is probably the big one that I feel like probably should be there but isn't.
That had its release date confirmed, right? Remind me again,
December,
what that was.
Yeah,
I was just gonna check that up.
First or third or something.
I think it's like the first week of December. Okay. So a little bit after.
Yeah, December 10th.
But I feel like
isn't that long away.
It's not. But I feel like that's the one game that showed off next gen gameplay. That couldn't really be done anywhere else. Looking at that list, there's at least five games that I'll be playing, at least, I reckon. Probably more.
Yeah.
Some people might try and get me to play Dead by Daylight again, but it's not happening. Bright Memory.
My sort of initial reaction looking at this list is there's nothing here that I'm, desperate to play. I mean, there's plenty there that if I was picking up an Xbox that I would enjoy playing. Even like Forza Horizon 4, I would be stoked to kind of play that again and see the improvements that they've made to that game. But I wouldn't be nearly as excited for it as I would be if it was a new Forza game, right? And that's not to say that they're missing out on like a trick that PlayStation's got. Although I will say there are games like on the PlayStation lineup that I am excited to play, but I guess that's not going to be a surprise to anyone. I just feel like it's lacking that kind of, that reason to purchase. Like, I don't see the game there that I'm like, I have to play this game. I have to play that now. I have to get that console. The system seller, I guess, so to speak.
But
had Halo Infinite still been there, I'd have been like, 100%, like, I'm getting this. I have to play that game. I think it's a bit unfortunate. But that's not to unlock the list. There's a lot of strong games in there. And if you're picking one up, I still feel like you're going to have plenty to play. Especially considering Game Pass is going to be there.
Like, we kind of spoke about it before, how launch lineups don't matter as much anymore. Because I feel like the people who are buying a Series X now are the people who are going to buy one anyway. Like, it's year two or year three where you kind of want to get people in, and that's when you kind of want to bolster that portfolio with, like, a Forza or Fable.
Honestly, I feel like Cyberpunk will probably be, like, the most played game on both of these consoles, and it's not even going to be next-gen optimized.
Yeah.
I presume the loading times are still going to be better.
Yeah, it'll be better, but, like, it's not going to have ray tracing or whatever else. Like,
no. Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. What do you reckon, Shannon? Are you happy with this list?
I am. Like I said, like, it would have just taken probably an Assassin's Creed Valhalla or a Watch Dogs, because they're both, I've played them both twice now, and they're both great games. So, like, either of those, and I would have probably been completely different how I felt about the lineup. I think it's fine. I think, like you said, you and Halo Infinite, like, it's something to get excited about that feels like a next-gen game. Like, obviously, it might have looked terrible if it released, but it still just would have created some buzz where, like, no offense to any of these games, like, I just don't really associate any of them with next-gen.
Yeah, they don't
even for launch lineups, which can be, like, who looks back and thinks, oh, yay, Killzone Shadowfall, game of the century. Like, nobody does, but at least at the time, like, you could somewhat get excited about it. But yeah, I don't know. Like Tetris Effect, I'm keen to play that. NBA looks really good, as like those images I sent the other day. Like, I feel like that'll be a good one. Forza, I'd played for maybe 5 hours, so I'd be keen to go back to that. There's definitely games on this list that I will be playing at least for a few hours and checking out. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited. There's a lot of games. Like, when you look at it, there is a lot of games.
Yeah, and we've said it before as well, that, like, just next gen is exciting. The fact that you've got a new piece of tech, like, I think for that fact alone, you know, there's still plenty of reason to be excited, for sure.
I'm sure a lot of people would just be happy Fortnite runs better and looks nicer, like, honestly.
yeah, really. I mean, you're bang on. Like, that game James, will continue definitely. To be a feature in people's play sessions, for sure.
It's groundbreaking. Honestly,
James just exuding enthusiasm. Yeah, well, we're already running long, but I did want to squeeze in a bit of a PlayStation catch up as well, seeing as that we've had some details finally on the backwards compatibility and how that's all going to work. I guess it's kind of just like how we hoped it would work. Am I right in that thinking, James? Is anything about this kind of caught you by surprise?
No.
Were you surprised by the sheer amount of games that are, like, the work?
I mean, no, I don't know. Like, my problem isn't so much. I think it's good. Like, that's kind of what it should have been, really. I guess my issue is, like, I just don't know why they didn't announce that sooner, because I'm sure they would have known earlier, right? Like, is that unfair to say, or...
Unless they were still testing. Like, it sounds like they've done... Yeah, but, like, they've tested a hell of a lot of games.
Like, guys, Afro Samurai doesn't work. Or was it Samurai Jack? I can't remember which one it was. It was something Samurai. Weird games, though, don't you reckon?
Revenge of Kuma Volume 1.
don't you reckon? Like, I've never played or heard of those games. Like, it's kind of nuts that they've even singled them out. I feel bad for those developers. Like, are they shitty? That they're, like, the only games that don't work on PS5? Like, imagine that.
I feel like it's got to be some sort of weird, like, architectural thing, or, like, the way they speak to... online, or
yeah, but those
I really
like
don't
seven
know
games.
Could they just not get in touch with those people on the day and just didn't want to risk it?
Maybe like some assets have gone missing or something.
You
like,
guys have to tee up and interview one of those devs. I reckon that'd be an interesting story.
I saw one of them. Yeah. I think it was one of the ones I hadn't heard of. Said that they're already working on a patch. That list felt weird. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty impressed. Like they talked about it being the greatest hits or something from the PlayStation 4. We're going to be backwards compatible. And it was like, well, what does that mean? Like, are those like just your kind of, you know, your, I forget what they called. Are they're not classics or platinum anymore? What are the games called? Are they PlayStation hits?
PlayStation hits. Right? I think. Yeah.
Hits. I thought maybe it might have just been those games that they kind of test and made sure worked, but I'm amazed at how extensive this is. Like, pretty much every game in my collection, every game in my collection, because I don't own any of these 10 games, are going to work, and all I have to do is insert the disc, and I can transfer my save data over if I want to as well. Like, I think that's all pretty seamless, and I'm stoked that it is that easy. I didn't expect it to be this easy.
Do you think these games were just used as scapegoats to show, like, how that just to prove once and for all that all games are playable, except these 10 games you've never heard of.
I feel like it's just the easiest way to do it, right? Like, rather than list the hundreds of games that worked, it's just easier to say it's only these ones that don't, right?
So random.
It is weird that there wasn't, like, a blog post that said, your favorite games, including, like, Spider-Man and God of War and Horizon and blah, 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 like, listed the greatest hits are gonna work. Like, they didn't... They just decided to single out the ones that weren't, rather than kind of spotlighting the ones that were a little bit. But, yeah, I'm pretty glad at how easy it is and surprised at how easy it's gonna be. It's good news. There was some bad news for a lot of people on the PlayStation front, though, and it is once again pre-order related. It seems like every week we're talking about more problems with next-gen pre-orders. But this is EB this time. Yesterday, as of the time of recording, they emailed a bunch of people to tell them their position in queue had been bumped up to launch, which was obviously immensely exciting for so many people, including some friends of mine as well. Before then, today, renouncing the emails and apologizing for a mistake. Shannon, what's your thoughts on this latest pre-order blunder?
Speechless.
You've been inundated with a real angry press starters today, right?
I was so excited for people, like, knowing that people were getting told they were moved up. Like, so many people were genuinely happy, which I get, right? Like, yeah. I think not having it for launch, like, it's not the end of the world, but it would take some of the buzz away, like, knowing that people have it before you, especially this year. We've waited so long for any information and stuff. Like, not to have one would be harsh. So...
Especially if a friend's got one and you missed out.
Yeah, it's a shit experience, like, knowing other people are playing while you can't. But, yeah, I feel really bad for people, like, seeing how excited they were and then to be told it was a mistake. I don't think anyone thought there was any chance that it was going to be a mistake, given EB sent this out, like, what, a month after pre-orders? And the fact that I think stores had told people we're getting our list today and that
and
kind of
thing.
And
we've already seen other retailers make mistakes. And you'd have thought, like, they would have been super, super careful to make sure that, like, this went hiccup-free. And here we are, discussing another pre-order.
And I feel really bad for EB. Like, I don't think... It's obviously not their intention. This would be the last thing they would want to do. So...
Yeah.
It's rough. At least it wasn't the day before, and they're like, oh, sorry, we just didn't get as many as we expected. Like, you pushed back. Like, they took it away from people that they had just given it to less than a day earlier. So it's harsh, but I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we kind of do need to be somewhat sympathetic in the fact that, like, this has been a kind of chaotic period, and it seems like they were kind of informed about the launch and just, like, what stock there was going to be quite late, and all of this is taking place in the middle of a pandemic, I'm sure, which complicates things further as well. I do have some degree of sympathy, but it's hard not to feel angry on behalf of everyone that was screwed around amongst all of this. What's your take on it, Jake? James.
My name's James, but
take and Jake, it just rhymed. I just had to roll off the tongue. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Just, like, frustrated and exhausted. Like, I just don't, you know, I think I said to you guys last week or the week before, I still don't really trust that my pre-orders are okay. Like, I don't know if I'm going to believe it.
Yeah, until, like, I actually checked mine today. I was like, is it still there?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, obviously, I think I was pretty fortunate. I think my Xbox got moved up, which is really nice. But I don't know, like, and I'm not, like, saying this is a dig at any retailers, but, like, I'm not going to trust anybody until I've physically got one in my hand. And that's why I'm also, like, mentally, I'm kind of, like, so distant from this now. Like, I just don't care. I'm really frustrated. I'm tired. I just want, like, to have one, and then we'll go from there. Like, I'm not going to put energy into planning what I'll play first or, like... You know what I mean? I know that sounds, like, really depressing,
well said.
But, like...
I think that's good advice for everyone.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I just feel like it's better to be surprised than to be disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I think, like, it's worth reiterating the point that this is kind of a crazy time, and the demand for these is incredibly high, and we are all human, and we make mistakes. And so even between, you know, now and you've got the console set up in your home, don't expect everything to go smoothly, maybe. Especially those kind of waiting for, like, home deliveries too. I feel like that's going to be another can of worms, and things, you know, going missing or whatever. And I guess we're just going to have to have your fingers crossed and be as patient and understanding as we can. And hopefully from here on out, it goes smoothly, but don't yeah, nothing's guaranteed. I think it's well said, James. Good point. All right. Well, should we play What the Wiki?
Let's do it.
Awesome. What the Wiki is the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for a known game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. The first to guess two games correctly wins the round and takes home the points. And last week, those points were awarded to James. After a rather controversial previous game, there was a bit of a rejigging in the point totals, but James kind of righted the wrong that had been made, and
the sins of the past were cleansed. Points
back out again. Yeah, cleansed it up. So James is on 11 points, still in the lead. Brody and myself are tied on 8 in second place. Stephen on 4, Shannon on 2, Matt and Harry on 1, and Kieran on 0. And this year is rapidly ticking away, so we're kind of approaching the end of the season pretty quickly. But James, you look like you're in a pretty comfortable position.
Yeah, but my availability might get disappear soon, so you know, maybe I'll give you guys a chance.
Ooh,
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, interesting.
Yes.
Well, James, as you won last week, you are the host for this round, so take it away.
Yes, let's go. There is no theme. Just want to say that. Like, there was, but I gave up. So, there's now no theme. In the interest of time. Okay.
Is there a theme that connects the first two games, or you didn't get that far?
Yeah, potentially, yes. Okay. Okay. This one should be easy. The game is an action real-time strategy video game developed by Titan Studios and published by Sony Computer Entertainment for the PlayStation 3. A PlayStation portable version was also released in 2010. The game is a multiplayer game for up to 32 players, with the basic goal of rescuing the princess and bringing her back to the team's base.
Shannon.
Yes, Shannon.
Shannon.
Yes.
Fat Princess.
It is Fat Princess. I forgot about that game. Did people...
I forgot all about that game.
That was like, people had a lot of fun with that back in the day.
Was it controversial?
It's funny, like...
Was it controversial?
I don't know. I remember that game, and I remember like the box art or like seeing it on the store, but I couldn't have told you like what the game was about at all. Well done, Shannon.
Thank you.
I'm still in it though.
I don't know.
Barely.
For now. See.
Are you ever in it?
Not at all. No, true. Hey, mate, I got 8 points this season.
Yeah, you do, actually.
Sly Raccoon.
You're doing quite well.
Need I remind you?
No, you are. You're doing great. Yes, I know. I've already apologized, though, so move on. Okay. Ooh, scared. Okay. The game is a 3D action-adventure game with beat-em-up elements. Breaking with the style of the previous games by the developer, the gameplay is quite simple in design, utilizing the premise of moving through areas of the game's mansion and completing the required challenges in each room. Such challenges include eliminating all ghoulies in a room, beating only a specified kind of ghoulie while avoiding eliminating arrest, or finding a key hidden inside a ghoulie before the
Shannon...
player...
I don't know.
Still no. Yep.
Ghost by the Ghoulies 2.
What is it?
Ghost by the Ghoulies 2? Is that the name of the game?
That is not it. See ya.
Am I right?
Grabbed like, by am the Ghoulies?
No, you're not.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies 2. Grabbed by the Ghoulies 2.
No, wait. No, you're not right. There is no second game. Like, oh, this is a shit show.
Okay. Ewan.
Ewan, yes.
Oh. Is it Grabbed by the Ghoulies?
Yeah, it is. Oh, my God. I gave that away. That's so bad.
I didn't know that was a game.
You said the former game or something. It
with the style of the previous games by the developer.
Oh,
yeah,
that's so annoying that I knew that.
You can't yell at me.
Well,
you
did it. You got it wrong.
Fuck off.
Sly aggressive. Like, or you'll be asked to leave. Like,
he doesn't even know what the game is.
I have
disqualify him.
I know the phrase. I don't know the game. I literally just knew the phrase. That's all it took. You had the phrase wrong. Grabbed by the ghoulies. There you go.
Wipe it under the table.
Yeah.
What? What is this? What is this game? Oh my God.
Okay, guys, shut up. Let's go. Let's take this home or bring it home, whatever they say, under the table.
I reckon we're getting all our sayings wrong today. I love it.
Okay, enough. Can't just wait. Like, okay. The game stars the yellow duck from the Ducks demo for the PlayStation 3 that was shown at E3 2005 and 2006.
I know this.
Oh, yeah, I knew you would. Using the motion sensing functions of a six-axis or DualShock controller, the player tilts a bathtub filled with water to move a rubber duck around the tub. There are many obstacles to avoid, such as falling out of the tub and toy sharks, which will try to eat the smaller ducks. I think that's the whole pay article. Oh, no. Online leaderboards track users' fastest times and allows users to see the replays of those fastest times. The game has three difficulty settings: fun, tricky, and tough. Each of the difficulty settings have 20 levels the player is required to complete in order to proceed to the next difficulty. The game is exclusively a downloadable game on the PlayStation Store for the PlayStation 3 video game console. It was announced on February 8th, 2007 and released in North America on April 19th, 2007 alongside a demo. That's literally the whole page. If you guys can't get the name, I'll go to the next game.
I know what it is in my head, but I don't know what it's called.
Wow.
No.
My two Sony boys. They couldn't even get
Float.
This one.
Float?
Float. Float.
I don't know.
That should be the gritty reboot. Float. Nah?
I feel like I remember this game, but...
I know the game, totally I just don't know. Me. Yeah, next.
Fun fact.
Was Float even remotely close?
No. I bought this game because it had DualShock features, and I just got my new DualShock, because I didn't even want it.
So did you have to buy it?
Yeah,
PSN
you did.
Only, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, should we move on?
So what was it?
You're gonna have to tell us. We don't know.
If you don't know, that's it. It was Super Rub Dub. Rub and Dub.
Super Rub Dub, yes.
Super Rub Dub. Oh my gosh.
Oh, fuck. I don't know how we're
going
to go.
Do you have another game?
Yeah,
we're going to get this tiebreaker.
I thought you guys might blank on that, so I'm ready. Okay, well.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I have no idea.
I can't believe you got stumped. Wow. Okay. This will be quick.
I mean, does it sound like a game we should have played?
You guys are PS3 people.
I definitely knew it.
You?
I think I had it. I bought it too because there was
nothing
else. We don't
play every PlayStation game that comes out.
There was nothing else when the PS3 came out.
Like you had Genji and Super Rubber Nub. Okay. God. Let's go. This will be it, surely. The gameplay is similar to that of previous installments and focuses on combo-based combat achieved through the player's main weapon, the Blades of Athena, and a secondary weapon acquired later in the game.
Shannon.
Yes, Shannon.
Heavenly Sword.
No, what the fuck?
No, it's not.
It features quick time events that require the player to complete various controller actions in a time sequence to defeat stronger enemies and bosses. Up to 3 magical attacks and a power-enhancing ability can be used as alternate combat options. The game also features puzzle and platforming elements, and the combat system has been updated to have 25% more gameplay. I don't know how they measure that. Than its predecessor.
What?
The gameplay of the game resembles that of previous installments. It's a third-person single-player game viewed from a fixed-camera perspective. The player controls the character Kratos in a hack-and-slash combo-based combat, platforming and puzzle game elements, battling foes who primarily stem from Greek mythology.
Am I back in yet?
Yeah, you are.
I don't know what it's called, though. I don't know. I know what it is, but I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, that's an old trick. We got that last round. Fuck, you guys are not going to get this.
The first God of War game I played was the most recent one. Okay. So,
what is it called?
Platforming elements require the player to climb walls, jump across chasms,
too mature for baby boy,
swing on ropes, and balance across beams. The game is an action-adventure game developed by Ready at Dawn and published by Sony Computer Entertainment. First release for the PlayStation Portable on November 2nd, 2010. It's the sixth...
Wait, Shannon.
Yes, Shannon.
God of War, Chains of Olympus.
Not that. The game is the sixth...
It's the other one, isn't it?
I still don't know it.
The game is the sixth installment. Yes, Shannon, just go. Fuck.
All these God of War fans just raging.
God of War... Ghost of Sparta?
Yes, that's it. Let's go. We're good. Shannon gets
well done. Thank fuck.
Yeah, that was fuck. That was awful.
I thought it was... What's the other one on PS3? God of War? What's that
Ascension?
Called? Ascension.
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 Yeah. He looks so relieved.
I'm relieved. That was horrible.
To be fair, I'm relieved because otherwise, like, we were not going to get it. I did not know what the game was.
I can't believe Super Rub and Dub was going to be the game that stumped everyone. Anyway,
I am I must admit, I'm not surprised whatsoever. But with that, let's bring an end. Oh, wait, I should sum up the scores. Shannon, you're on 3 points now. You're edging closer towards Stephen. So you're nearly on the podium. Stephen's on four. So
I'm on the comeback trail.
And you're in third place. That's it. But with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. You can join the conversation with hashtag press.cast. We've been joined today by Shannon.
Goodbye. Go and read all the Xbox Series X stuff if you haven't already. And follow me on Twitter at ShannonCake_.
Wow. That was
And we've
blunt.
Also been joined today by James.
Hello, it's me. At James, ATJAMZ. yeah. I finished Minute recently. That was fun. Music was cute.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
See ya.